Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. My guest today is Margaret Ann Lembo. She's the author of Masters, Mystics, Saints, and the Gemstone Guardian Cards, and she's going to speak with us today about the power of working with the Masters, Mystics, and Saints, and somehow blending that all with gemstones. I can't wait to hear how that works. It sounds so fascinating. I love this topic, and as a psychic myself, I have such a sweet spot in working with those types of guides. There are many, many different types of guides, and I use that term guides to refer to the benevolent, non-physical beings that are around us, helping us through life. And as I said, there's so many different kinds and infinite variety as far as I can tell. Some people have an affinity for angels, or maybe are drawn to nature spirits, or even animal guides. But of all of them, I have a strong love for the Masters, Mystics, and Saints. These are guides that have lived full human lifetimes just like you and me, so they really understand the human experience. I find them to be very compassionate about the troubles we face as ordinary people, and they love to share their journey about how they got from here all the way back to God. I often feel like I'm following in their footsteps, and they have paved the way for us, which to me is such a comfort. And here to talk to us more about them is Margaret Ann Lembo. She's the owner of the Crystal Garden, a conscious living gift store and bookstore in Palm Beach County, Florida. And for close to 30 years, she's led workshops, classes all around the country. Margaret Ann is highly renowned for her dedication to helping people focus on mindfulness and the power of positive thinking. She's just created this new card deck that can help us get closer to communicating with these very cool guides, the Masters, Mystics, and Saints. So welcome, Margaret Ann.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's so cool to talk to you about this. Like I said, it's one of my favorite types of guides, and I'm just dying to hear how you blend these types of guides with the gemstones. Sounds so fascinating.
Well, I am happy to share this. You know, I really firmly know that everything has a vibration, and I'm an expert in regard to working with the energetics of gemstones. You may be familiar with my prior books, and they're mostly about crystals. And so I think in the term of gemstones, like if somebody says purple, I think amethyst. If somebody says green, I'll think aventurine or emerald or green tourmaline. And they all have an energy associated with it. So when I was putting together my last two books, but more specifically, The Essential Guide to Crystals, Minerals, and Stones, and The Essential Guide to Aromatherapy and Vibrational Healing, it kept coming to me that I needed to make a correlation for the aspect of understanding on the vibrational match between a gemstone and a master, a mystic, saint, and archangels and angels, because I have two more predecessor decks associated with angels and the gemstone guardians, and the other one is archangels and the gemstone guardians. So there's already been this like flow of insight and information, and you know, I had to work with the Masters, Mystics, and Saints.
Yeah, I totally get it. And I just love how you're so tuned into vibrational healing. I love vibrational healing too, you know, and how everything that you talked about, you know, essential oils or flower essences and gemstones have a really powerful vibration. And when we use them, you know, if you put them on your body, like you're doing a gemstone layout, then our own energy changes to match the energy of whatever vibrational tool you're using. And it just, and I know there are really complicated sort of tables of correspondences that, you know, relate everything, but I never would have thought of putting the masters or even guides with them. That's so cool.
Well, you know, it started first for me with the angels and gemstones. And that's how it started back quite a few years ago, maybe over 10 years ago now. And I just knew that there was this correlation, because the idea for me is that gemstones are a reminder. Like, it's not you just like hold a rock and oh, magically you're going to have everything fall into place. It's not going to manifest your boyfriend. It's not going to manifest your girlfriend. It's not going to manifest the money. It's the thought form associated with the crystal. And so with angels helping, or an archangel, and in this case, masters, mystics, and saints, we have an additional aid, if you will. We can petition their assistance. You know, I was born and raised Catholic, so for me, it was normal to pray to a saint or to ask a saint's intercession. And there's saints in all the traditions, you know, Buddha saints, Hindu saints, it's all part of this deck and much more. So we can then, if you do know a little bit about a saint or the life of a master, that will help give an insight, and then it turns into an oracle. Because, like, for example, St. Lucy is a saint that is the patron saint of the blind. She had, there's two different stories, but basically she took her eyes out of her head, or somebody else did. We're not sure because it's ancient history. But if you pull that card, which I don't have it pulled right now, I don't remember every matching gemstone. But the point is that if you pull St. Lucy and you are trying to gain clarity on something, it makes sense to then ask the question, what are you not seeing? What are you not allowing yourself to vibrate to and really be able to see in order to move forward in your life? And then some affirmations to go with it. Because they're two-sided cards. There's a lot of information on these cards.
And probably, like, if you were having that problem, if you were lacking clarity, you might petition St. Lucy to help you see something and then use the corresponding gemstone to open your energy field in a way that might help you see that. Is that kind of how it works?
And repeat the affirmation too.
Yeah, I like it. I like it that you include affirmation. So it sounds like you have like a, you know, kind of a working with all the levels, the emotional level, the physical level, the mental, like you're combining all of that.
I am. In fact, yeah. That's the way the essential guides are broken down, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. That's interesting mm-hmm. that you should say that. You must be intuitive.
Yeah. Sometimes. Oh, that's so cool. And so tell me a little bit about your experience of working with the masters, mystics, and saints.
Well, you know, when throughout my life, I've always had this connection. You know, when I had my Catholic experience, I'm using air quotes, I never had a negative experience. I saw it as very mystical and really related to all the ceremonies and rituals and all the murals that I would pass and around my own church. And I don't even really go to mass or do anything in that regard anymore, but I still didn't, I never threw the baby out with the bathwater, if you will. I just really embrace that there are saints that can help us in our lives. And so with Ascended Masters also, you know, Ascended Masters come in various forms. They could be a master teacher who hopefully the intention is that they're spiritually enlightened and that they have had incarnations as a human, and therefore they can pass on their experiences, their transformational vibration, because they've been through certain forms of initiations and trials and tribulations. Then there's a whole nother level of Ascended Masters who are Great White Brotherhood, and that's a whole different kind. And they were first coined as Ascended Masters during, I don't know if you remember that book, The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East. That's when mm-hmm. it first came out as being called yeah. Ascended Masters. And then from there, there's many more references to these beings. So my experience has been through the majority of the time is understanding a bit about the life of a saint. Like, I really, really connect for some reason, and I'm not of a Hindu tradition background, to Satya Sai Baba. Mm-hmm. He was a living planet for a living saint. He was a living planet. He was a living saint on this planet up until 2011. Have you ever heard of?
Oh yeah, I'm kind of a Yogananda person myself, but I totally love Sai Baba and know who he is. Yeah, he's very cool.
And Yogananda's in this deck too. So yeah. We have all Neem Karoli Baba, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa. In fact, I've had experiences with His Holiness the Dalai Lama and his teachings of detachment and helping as many people as possible through our own experiences is very profound. There's so many aspects to the various teachings. So my experience is basically from learning as much as I can when I can about a particular saint or master or mystic, and then inviting their vibration to assist me in my life and show me signs and messages to help me on my journey.
Yeah, I feel like people have certain affinities for, or strong connections to some of these ascended masters. Like I know I do. I have I have a little bit of a love affair with the mystics. And even though I didn't grow up Catholic, I love the Christian mystics. I'm, big fan of Teresa of Avila and Thomas Aquinas. And I love like you said, they've lived human lifetimes. And I find them a little more accessible sometimes than angels. I mean, I'm not going to dis the angels. Everybody loves angels. But angels sometimes, in my experience, don't always understand what it's like to be human. And the trials and tribulations we have as humans, though, quite the same way the ascended masters do.
Very well put. I agree with you. And in a lot of ways, we're you and I are a mystic. A mystic is a person who seeks through contemplation or meditation or surrender to the divine. And so, and there's many of us, there's many people on the planet who, at least the people I interact with because of the work I do, they're looking to understand, what am I supposed to be doing? What is why am I here? How can I develop my intuition and develop a stronger connection with all that is, So, it's kind of cool because we are all living mystics, and by connecting, as you said, with these beings that have been here and done this before us, we can learn from their experiences, like meeting with a wise one,
Well, I heard this really cool definition, sort of distinction between mystics and masters, where mystics are like on the straight path toward God, give me the fastest path back to God you can possibly give me. And sometimes it's a very hard path. And that masters sort of linger. Masters are a little more in love with the world and like to teach and will often just kind of come back into the world and share their, knowledge, enjoy incarnating and linger a little bit here because teaching is part of their commitment to the enlightenment of everybody. What do you think of that definition? Does that
It does. But I could even throw saints into there because there's in the Buddhist tradition, bodhisattvas are often considered Buddhist saints, and they take the vow, and I've taken this vow when I met with His Holiness to continue to return to Earth and to all sentient beings reach enlightenment.
Right.
So you and I and others that are listening may have actually consciously made that commitment to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to work really hard on doing the best I can do and advance my soul, my spirit, and try to really learn the lessons that will help me become enlightened. And on that journey, I'm also going to share what I learn as I learn it so other people can hopefully also gain more enlightenment on their journey.
And do you feel like that there's like a, kind of like an acceleration of enlightenment happening right now? Like, are there more people than normal? Like that sort of talk about the ascension or the shift. What do you think about that?
Well, when I opened my store in August of 1988, right after the harmonic convergence in 87. And back at that time, there was a lot I perceived, unless maybe it had to do with the people I was hanging out with, I don't know. I perceived that there was a lot more talk about ascension and the ascension process, and it used to be events where you'd go and you'd connect with various ascended masters, like the kind that are from the I Am Presence series of energy. And now I'm not sure anymore from that standpoint, from that vibration of ascension. But I do perceive from a, now I'm going to also say this from an entrepreneurial standpoint, because I consider myself a spiritual entrepreneur, and I've noticed that my business has really grown significantly. My, you know, conscious living bookstore, gift store, and spiritual center has really grown in the last, I guess, 5 years, maybe. If I was to, you know, I'd have to really contemplate how long it's been, but definitely in the last 2 years. So does that mean that I'm a good business person, or does that mean good marketing? What does that mean? That there are a lot of people that are seeking, they're searching, they want to improve themselves. And I want to go with the second one. I know I'm a good business person, but I really think that this is now something that's really become much, much more mainstream than it used to be. Now, is that true all over the planet? That I don't know. But at least in my part of the world, I'd say yes.
Yeah, I would say I agree with you too, that it seems like people, there's sort of a quickening of people's consciousness, things are kind of, people are waking up a little bit more, I guess I could say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. I would like to believe that, and that's going to be what I'm going to hold on to, is that, you know, myself included, because every day in every way, there's some way that I know that I can improve and awaken my consciousness even more. So I think that's true for all of us, right?
I do. And I so love it that you included, the saints from all over the world, and do you have some living saints in there too, or are they all passed?
The only one that's the living saint, and we realized that after it was already printed, is His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, everybody has passed over.
Do you think there are? Oh yes, I do.
And I am on a mission to determine who they are and where they are. I believe there's some Hindu ones, but I don't understand enough about them yet. So I'm not really positive, but there's a possibility in that regard. And there may be some, some may work under the radar. There's maybe more beings that are on this saintly path, if you will, for lack of a better term, that are humble, or it's not so much about, hey, look at me, look what I do. And I'm not saying the saints did that in the past, but most of the saints, they waited, some of them waited more than 50 years after their death before they were canonized,
Right.
Because they had to prove, like there was a, at least in the Catholic version of sainthood and canonization, is beatification, and then there has to be all these, it goes before a trial, and they have to prove so many times that there's a miracle, and then they have to prove that there's so many miracles after they pass. So I think it just depends on who's defining the saint.
I agree. Right? I'm sure there's many, because humility is one of the strong qualities I think that saintly people have. There's many that are just out there doing their work. And I notice in my client work that I've seen this surge of young men, like in their 20s, that I call them in my head the bodhisattvas, because they all come in pretty much like they don't have any karma. I'm like, but they're not like my normal clients that are kind of like really, are struggling. And they just came to serve. And I feel like a wave, like a huge wave of them are here right now. And that they've literally come to save the planet. And I find it so heartening then, so hopeful.
Wow. That's
yeah.
Nice. Good.
It's pretty cool. I know.
Nice to hear.
Yeah, I know. I find it so comforting. We're kind of in bad shape right now. So we need a whole flood of these saintly bodhisattvas, and bodhisattva, just in case people who are listening don't know what that means, like I think what it means is that people have reached enlightenment but choose to continue incarnating here to help other people. Is that what you mean with a bodhisattva?
Well, my understanding is that it's a person who is committed to keep returning to Earth until everyone reaches enlightenment, all sentient beings reach enlightenment. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure that they actually are considered fully enlightened. I think that people can be a bodhisattva and continue to do the work, do as much as possible, because we're, you know, we are still human, because we have the polarity of being here on Earth. So I'm not 100% sure. And that's a really good question. I'm going to have to do more research on it and ask some of my Buddhist friends if they have any more insights on that. And
yeah,
I even have a book on that, because when I took the vow, I think I said, I better find out more what I'm vowing to do here.
Wow. Yeah, that's intense. I mean, it's very cool that you did that. I meet a lot of people who are like, get me off this planet, it's, you know, right away. And I'm a little bit more like you. Like, I like being here and I like to help people. So let's keep going until everyone's good.
Yeah. I really like being here. I really do.
Too.
I'm really good. I feel like it's a gift to get to come and evolve our soul and evolve our spirit. So I'm with you on that, Lisa.
Yeah. Plus there's like chocolate and scotch and, you know, things you don't get when you're, you know, on the other side. So it's kind of a
thing. I don't drink a lot, but when I drink, it is scotch. I'll have a do with some water, but not too often. Maybe
awesome.
Twice or three times a year. That's funny. Yep.
So just getting back to your sort of methodology here, can you tell us maybe a story? The name of my show is The Miracle of Healing, and I just love miracle stories. And I'm wondering if you have a good story of somebody that's used the system and really had results.
Well, because this particular deck just came into my hands literally 3 days ago, I haven't worked with this deck that much yet other than creating it. You know, it's one thing to have it in a Word document and then in a PDF and then having it in your hand. But what I will say is, over the years, what I have observed, you know, because I've also been teaching chakra awakening courses for quite a few years, over 15 years now. That's the title of my first book, Chakra Awakening. And what I do observe is that when people delve into the understanding of their own consciousness through awakening of an understanding of the chakra system and how color affects our lives. If we understand that maybe in on the root chakra level, we still haven't accepted that it's okay and beneficial to be prosperous and abundant, then that's the first level in the understanding. And then working with different gemstones like black tourmaline or a garnet or a ruby to be mindful, because it is about mindfulness. It is about being paying attention to what are the thoughts that I'm working with. So what I've observed is people that have really taken on the information that I share and integrated into their lives, myself included, using positive thought forms, affirmations in conjunction with the gemstones, they do in fact transform their reality. I have an awakening consciousness retreat coming up that I've done. This is going to be the third time. I only have 8 people at a time that can attend. And what I have observed in just the short amount of time that I've been doing the retreat is that by the time that they're done with overcoming, you know, attachments to this and restrictions because of that thought form and that, they come out of the workshop or their life, you know, whether it's a workshop or, you know, however they want to approach it, they are able to like move into what their real purpose is and live it and not be so fearful.
Sounds super cool. So how can people get in touch with you? Like, can you share your website?
Oh, please. Yeah. So the best way to reach me is through my website, margaretannlembo.com. And also, I'm quite active on Facebook. So find Margaret Ann Lembo page, the author page. And I also am on Instagram and all the social media sites, you know, so Twitter. And I also, my YouTube channel is very active, youtube.com/ Margaret Ann Lembo. So just connect with me and come on over to the Crystal Garden. You can also find out a lot of what's going on at thecrystalgarden.com.
Well, thank you so much, Margaret Ann, for being with us today. It was our time went by so quickly. It was such a great conversation. I wish we could have kept talking about it forever because it was fascinating, and I love what you've done. I can't wait to get a copy of your card deck. I'm going to get it on Amazon as soon as it comes out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And if you guys want to reach me, you can always reach me at lisacampion.com. And don't forget that you can find my show on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, on podcasts. So thanks for joining us tonight and talking about Masters, Mystics, and Saints and Gemstones.